You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. I'm going to continue on with the spirit, soul, and body. And we know we're made up of those three components. We know that creativity, revelation, and inspiration make up the spiritual component of us. And the soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the body is the lust of the eyes, or operates through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So let's talk a little bit more about the spiritual side of us. You know, since the beginning in Adam and Eve, when they were thrown out of the garden, God sent angels to minister to them and to watch over them and to watch over mankind. And God told the angels to release certain forms of technology over a period of time. He had it organized to do that. And the angels were assigned the distribution of this technology. This technology is very simple stuff, like, God, when he sewed animal skins and put them on Adam and Eve, God didn't actually do it himself. He used angels to do that. God doesn't get off his throne and do this stuff. He actually uses the agency of angels. So at the burning bush, the Bible talks about God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. But in Psalms, it talks about an angel spoke to Moses from the burning bush. So which one did it, God or the angel? Well, an angel spoke to and had a conversation with Moses. But he did it on behalf of the assignment he was sent by God. And he negotiated with Moses. It's pretty interesting. If you understand that and you start reading the Bible from that aspect, you'll see where things start to fit. You know, one of the most important things is if you don't understand how the functionality of the kingdom of God operates, when you start reading the Bible, you will get confused, because you won't know where you are. God spoke, it says, God spoke to this person, and then later on it'll say an angel spoke to him. So you have to understand the intricacies of these events and the fine details, or else you'll just think God is everywhere and all over the place. No, he's God, and he sends angels to do his will. And if you read Isaiah chapter 28, halfway through it, it says, "Whom shall I teach wisdom or knowledge? Them that are weaned from the breast," right? Those that have taken from the breast and are starting to actually move in some form of understanding. They're not little babies. And he talks about speaking to them in other tongues. It says, "For if stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto these people, saying, this is the rest, this is the refreshing, where I may cause the weary to rest." Now that's one part of Isaiah chapter 28. And that's actually the pointed part. That's the central theme. But you've got to read from chapter 1 right through to the end of chapter 28 to understand the whole concept and put it into perspective. So what's God saying? I'll give you a synopsis of it. God is saying mankind can't do anything without the intervention or the instruction from God. What God is saying is that mankind has no creativity, no revelation, and no inspiration outside of the spiritual realm. Through his soul, through his mind, will, and emotion, he can't create anything. He can't get a revelation, and he can't be inspired, because that department is exclusive to the spiritual realm. And he's saying that he sent angels to teach man how to even put seed in the ground, all the different types of seed. He instructed them. Now, God himself did not instruct man how to put seeds in the ground. He sent angels. And he spoke to them through angels, because the angels had wisdom and understanding, and they taught man. How did they do that? Did they turn up and show them how to put it in the ground? Maybe. Or maybe they spoke into their ear. Maybe they had a dream. Maybe they dreamt they got the seed, they put it in the ground, and a plant grew. And they went, that's amazing. So they get up and say to their wife, I know how plants work. Whatever. Or maybe they knew that, but they needed information on where to put the seeds. Because all different seeds have to be germinated in different ways. So that information comes from the spiritual realm. So the knowledge of things comes from the spiritual realm. Without that angelic intervention or God intervention, we would still be throwing rocks at each other and living in caves. I'm not saying that we're cave men, but our limited understanding. They sowed fig leaves, so they knew how to sow, but they didn't know how to kill an animal and how to prepare the skin so that it was wearable. They didn't know how to tan the hide or anything like that. And God had to do that for them through angels. So if you read the Old Testament with that understanding, you'll find that angels did all the work. So God sent watchers. In the Bible, it talks about watchers. What did they do? They watched mankind and they reported back to God. And they made sure that mankind stayed within certain parameters according to the timeline that God had set up for all of humanity. In Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the Nephilim. It talks about the watchers. It talks about in Enoch, the book of Enoch, how the watchers came down and were supposed to look after mankind, but they decided to step into, they must have had the form of man. Okay, they must have walked around amongst men, and they had an idea that they would take wives. And that's where the book of Enoch talks about them having children to those wives. And it talks about they even had animals involved in the whole thing as well. It was a big mess, and that's why the flood came about. So we're supposed to take our creativity, our revelation from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. People, when they paint or they create artwork that's deformed and twisted and grotesque, that's not coming from the Holy Spirit. That inspiration, that creativity, is coming from a dark side. Do you know, I went to Sydney and I stayed with some saints, and they lived just down the road from an insane asylum that had been shut down. And there was some people who had renovated it, organizations. And there were places in that insane asylum, in that mental asylum, where people were locked away. I mean, this one was in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, and I mean, they didn't have the drugs, they didn't have the stuff that they have now, the rehabilitation. But you know, they just, people who are off their face, they just tied them up and left them in a dark place on a bed, and they didn't have much of a life at all. And some of them were in they locked them away into dark, dingy places. So we went and saw these. Well, we didn't actually go in and see these dark, dingy places. But we were told about all this, and that the creative arts have leased out these rooms, and they create art in there. So creating art, inspired art, in an environment where people were crazy and off their face. And they were tormented, demonically tormented. What sort of inspiration came out of that? What residue or what atmosphere was still in there? That's what the world's about. They connect through the spiritual realm, through the spiritual part of them, and they get inspired. They have revelation and they have creativity that is not of God. It's all about darkness. It's all about misery. It's all about sadness. It's terrible stuff. And that is the fruit of the world through their spirituality. But to us, we have the Holy Spirit. And we can create life through our creativity. We can have revelation of life and the light of the Father and the inspiration to go and put our hands forth and do stuff. You know, whatever business you're in, whether you're working for somebody, whether you're working for yourself, you can use the creativity and revelation and inspiration from the Holy Spirit to upgrade, to supercharge whatever you put your hand to. If you read Isaiah chapter 28, go through it carefully. Maybe look at some hard commentary on some things because some of it's a bit obscure. At the end it says, I'm God and I give man all knowledge and understanding. And nothing comes out of themselves. It doesn't come out of their soul. Their soul receives the stuff and process it through their mind, their will, and their emotions. So mankind cannot create outside of the spiritual realm. They have no revelation outside of the spiritual realm. No inspiration. When you paint a painting, you actually are using creativity and inspiration through the spiritual realm. Whether it be a deformed spiritual person who is not filled with the Holy Spirit, or a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit, they can be inspired by the spiritual realm, their spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So that's where all of that stuff comes from. You know, I was trying to buy a trailer for my car. That's probably 2013. So I see this advertisement in the newspaper. I ring up and they said, yes, come out. The trailer's still there. So I go out there and it's out in the middle of the bush. So I drive for about 45 minutes out in the middle of the country and I turn up at this little farmhouse thing. And there's at the front door, just before the front door, there's this this table with all of this Indian deity stuff. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was Kadesh. It's that god that's the elephant god with all the hands and the different lots of trunks and things, right? Anyway, so I knock on the door and no one answers. I knock again. And then this girl comes out and she's an Indian girl. And she's probably about 23 years old. And she says to me, she says, oh, I didn't hear you. I was inside walking around with no clothes on. I don't need to know that. And she says, you've come to have a look at the trailer. I said, yeah. So we walk around the back and she shows me the trailer. And straight out of the blue, she starts saying to me, my husband, he's in hospital. He's 73 years old. I said, your husband's 73 years old? She said, yes. I come from Fiji. And the only way I could come out of Fiji was to marry him. And I said, well, how old are you? And she says, I'm 23, I think she said. Now, the girls dress very scantily, hardly any clothes on. She didn't have any bra on or anything. And I said, so what's that thing you've got out the front? And she started telling me that it was the god that she worships, the god Kadesh, or Kadesh, and that she's Indian. And I says, oh. And straight away, this enmity come and enveloped me. I could feel the presence of this demon come all over me, and it was nearly overwhelming, the presence. He was a big, ugly demon. And I could feel the oppression. It was massive. And I looked at her. She's got hardly any clothes on. She's telling me she's married to an old man who's dying in hospital. And I'm thinking, this is a setup. This is not good. So I said to her, I said, well, I'm a Christian. And she said, oh. And I said, yeah. I said, I pray for people and their lives change. And she says, really? Yeah. And I said, can I pray for you, please? She said, yes. So I put my hand on her and I prayed over her and I commanded all of the demonic activity around her and all of the influence in her life of darkness to just go in the name of Jesus. And I bound up all of that, and in a moment it all left. And the atmosphere absolutely changed from being, being oppressive to being light. So I had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pray for her. I had the revelation that if I prayed for her, I could clear off all of this stuff that was trying to attack me, to mount a force against me. I could feel it was in the spiritual realm, it was heavy, heavy, heavy. So when I prayed for her, the demons got beaten up. I smacked them senseless in the head and they ran. And then all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed and she felt light. She says, I feel light. I feel different. I said, yes. I said, all that stuff that's around you that is brought to you by that worship out there has been chased off. I said, I work for Jesus. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. I'm born again. She was like she was shocked. I just showed her that my God was better than her crummy God. Anyway, and I said to her, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit? She said, yes, I would. So I put my hand on her, prayed over again. She started speaking in tongues. I think that's so funny. So this set up for me to try and get me backfires, and the Holy Spirit inspires me and shows me how to warfare effectively against these guys. And I pray and they get chased off. And then the person that they use to try and get me with gets filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's funny. And she was amazed. She started speaking in tongues. And anyway, after we prayed for about maybe 5 minutes, she started praying in tongues. And she said, excuse me for a minute. She went inside and came back totally dressed differently. She had a bra on and she had different clothes on. And I said to her, you changed. She said, yes. She said, I feel funny. I said, yeah. So I didn't get into it, but I'll tell you what happened. What happened is she was a demon-possessed, worshipping a Indian Kadesh god, right? And they tried to overwhelm me spiritually. They tried to, whatever they had in store for me, or whatever plan they had for me, didn't work. And because the Lord, He is a strong and mighty tower, and they got kicked in the head and they ran off. And I got the person that they were using filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I didn't do it. God filled them with the Holy Spirit. I think that's really funny. And then after that, she had inspiration and a revelation that she was dressed not appropriate. Now, a person in the world doesn't always have that inspiration. They run around dressed inappropriate. So, you know, God gave her, because God was inside her, because God had infused in her spirit like a tea bag, right? And become one, said to her, this is not holy. So she felt unholy in the way she was dressed, and she went inside and her conscience told her to straighten things up. She come out, she was totally different, and I was going, praise the Lord, this is good fun. There you go. So when I'm out on the street or in the shopping center and people come up to me who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, or they are filled with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't really matter, they feel inappropriate, especially when they're dressed inappropriate, and they start shuffling themselves around and sort of straightening themselves up. I haven't said a thing, but they feel unholy or inappropriate in the presence of God because I'm full of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit convicts men of sin. He doesn't convict their soul, he convicts them through the spiritual realm. So people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, they feel that conviction. That they don't understand, but they think there's something wrong. I need to straighten myself up. I need to stop swearing. I need to move my clothes around so that I'm actually more appropriately dressed. And I'm aware of this. And they don't understand that I understand. I just let it slide. Don't worry about it. But it happens over and over again, all the time. People come up to me and they look at me and they smile because their spirit, their unredeemed spirit, knows who I am. Because the spirit convicts men of sin. You know, and those who see me or of God, maybe they see God in me. Those who are not of God, they feel convicted and they want to get away from me as fast as possible. And I've never had to say to them, I'm a Christian. No, I just have to stand in front of them. I just have to move into their area of influence, and they feel the atmosphere change because they're spiritual beings. But they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's how we interact with people. We interact with people predominantly through the spiritual realm. Okay, so that has the higher place in our social interaction. Then it's our soul. So everywhere you go, you interact with people on the first plane or the first place spiritually. Now it's not something they know of or they understand, but you know, they feel inside themselves, they say, I feel creepy around that person. That's the enemy saying to them, there's something wrong with that person, you better get away. They're not saying, oh, they're holy, we need to move away. No, the enemy tells them lies. Then there's other people who come around and the Holy Spirit speaks to them and says, see him or her? They're nice people. Listen to them. You know, people, they say, you know, it talks about intuition. Intuition comes from the spiritual realm. When people move into different rooms or houses or buildings, you know, they can feel the atmosphere change. That atmosphere is felt through the spiritual realm. I prayed with her a little bit more. I went home. I thought about the trailer. I told Donna, and she said, and I said, oh, I'm going to go and get that trailer. And she said, I'll come with you. She protects me. Anyway, so we get there, and we buy the trailer. Her husband's still in hospital. And I said to her, ask your husband if he wants, we'll come to the hospital and pray. Anyway, he wouldn't let us. And that's another story. But, you know, that inspiration, that creativity, and that revelation that comes from God through the Spirit saved me, right? Protected me, gave me the answer to the problem. And that's how it works. You know, Donna went into an Indian shop to get some Indian food, and I'm waiting outside. We just ordered it, and I'm sitting in the car with the little dog because we couldn't go into the restaurant with the little dog. And so she goes in there and she comes out with the Indian and she says, that place is so oppressive. You know, she said, I felt a wall of demonic activity. It was so in your face, massively. It really, if that happens to Donna, that's pretty big, because she prays with me and we go out and minister to people and we kick demons off of people. So Donna knows, she knows the feeling. When the enemy tries to attack. So she walks into this restaurant to pick up some Indian, and she's waiting for the food, and she feels this demonic attack. She comes out to the car, and she was very taken back by this stuff, you know. And So, you know, I asked the Lord about that. I said, Lord, I've been in many Indian places. I never felt anything like that. And he said to me, he said, you know, some people have pictures on their walls and all of the stuff, the carvings and everything, but they don't really worship it. It's just part of their culture. He said it's like Christians who have crosses and pictures of Jesus around, but they don't worship. It's like Christians who celebrate Christmas, maybe even go to church every week, but they don't worship. They really are just going through the motions because of their culture. He said, but there's some people who really take it serious. So when they do, they invoke these demons to come and be a part of their life because these guys are serious. So these guys in this Indian restaurant were serious about serving and worshipping their deity. Just like you and I who pray in tongues and are serious about worshipping the true God, the true and only God. So, you know, that really showed me. And that came because I asked the Lord, and he didn't speak to me through my mind, my will, and my emotions. He spoke to me through the Spirit. He gave me understanding. He inspired me. And my mind was able to process that and think on that. You know, so, you know, we have to understand if we plug into the Holy Spirit, the creativity and the revelation and the inspiration that comes from God is all you ever need. It's everything. It is the complete package to life. You know, many years ago, we're in a church and someone started prophesying. They said, in this book are all the issues to life. And you know what? That inspired me so much. I knew exactly what that person was talking about. You know, another person could speak those words, but nothing would happen. But these were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And they touched me in such a way that I saw them as an absolute truth. I wrote them down in the front of my book, my Bible, because I wanted that to be something that I would remember. That in this book is all the issues of life. It's a spiritual book that's been inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspiring men to write down these words. They're inspirational words from God that if you're connected to Him, He can speak to your soul. He can speak to your mind, your will, and your emotions. He can speak through the Spirit. Your soul is what you live in, you walk in, okay? But if it's being dominated by the inspiration, the creativity, of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get a true representation of life. You're not going to live a false idea or false paradigm. Everybody is out there doing something, and they're all different. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one road. There's not many roads. You know, life has many roads. These people are being inspired by demons, doctrines of devils, and they're being led astray. But you, if you pray in the Holy Spirit, you'll get the truth. And if you walk in the truth, the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, will make you free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death just means missing the mark. But when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, and you're being inspired, and creativity is coming to you, and revelation, you're going to hit the target every time. That's what sin actually means. It means firing an arrow or throwing something at a target and missing it. That's sinning. It's doing things that are inappropriate. It's unrighteousness. Righteousness is doing the best practices. If someone showed you how to aim an arrow properly, they showed you all of the ideas of lining the arrow up. That's righteousness. Okay? And then you fire and you hit the target. When it comes to archery, you're walking in righteousness. If you just get an arrow and just shoot it at the target without any inspiration or creativity from the Holy Spirit, you're going to miss the target every time. So that's sin. And sin brings death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's how it works. If you pray in tongues, you seek God and get true creativity and revelation and inspiration from God, then you will not sin, you'll be righteous, you'll hit the target every time, because you'll be inspired by God, and He is truth, and in Him is no lie. Something to think about, isn't it? So we'll just leave it there. So if you'd like to help Donna and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.